Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is August the 17th, and this is another Words of Grace podcast. I'm with Scott, Patty.
Hey, Justin.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You know, I walked outside this morning.
Yep. I was just about to say
that. And it wasn't humid or as humid.
It felt like September.
I know. I was like, oh, this is nice.
I sat out on my porch and had my devotional quiet time reading and prayer out there today.
Yeah. I went and worked out, and I thought, this is the first time I'm going to work out outside in the morning, and I'm not going to sweat in the first 2 minutes of my workout. Yeah. It was great.
Well, don't get used to it. It's still August.
Yeah, I know. Still August. But hey, it gave us a glimpse of what's to come, and that made me excited.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Scott, we are in the book of Romans, and we finally moved beyond verse 11 in chapter 5.
Went to verse 12.
I know. We were like, hey, we finally have moved on from a section, but we moved into a new section. We went through really verse 12 into the very end of chapter 5, right before chapter 6. Yep. If you would, for us, give us a glimpse or give us a little bit of an overview of the sermon on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage people to listen to it because it is one of those passages that gives us an overview of humanity.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand what Paul is talking about when he talks about Adam and Christ and how they are two representatives of two humanities and within the human race, meaning, you know, all are of Adam because and therefore, and he outlines it. I can't go into all of it here. We don't have time, but people need to listen to it. But Paul outlines how all in Adam are all because of Adam, who is the first representative of the human race, are in sin, and with sin came death. And so that's really, in the deepest sense of the word, describes the state of the world and why we are experiencing what we're experiencing because of sin and death brought in by Adam. Christ, praise the Lord, where there's sin, there's grace abounds all the more. Christ comes. He's the representative of a new humanity, and through his work, which is not disobedience like Adam's, but his work is obedience, he brings righteousness, he brings right standing, he brings eternal life, you know, through Christ, grace reigns versus death reigning. So, you know, Christ brings the new humanity. He's our head. He's our representative. He earned our salvation for us. So that's what Paul's doing. He's just laying out a viewpoint here of how to understand the world and the makeup of humanity.
Yeah.
And interestingly, it's placed here. You know, I've read people say different things as to why did Paul put this part of Romans where he put it about Adam and Christ. It seems like it comes out of nowhere. But, you know, some see that what Paul did was that like in Romans is evangelistic, and he tells people up front, he shows people up front how they themselves are sinners. And then being a good evangelist, he's walking them through. And so then he talks about Adam. And then he talks about how the sin came into the world. So he kind of appeals to what they can sense in their conscience first.
Right.
Then he goes back to the historicity.
He starts explaining it.
Yeah, he goes back to the historical context of Adam rather than starting there.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons, and I think that's a legitimate understanding. I think it's also important that Paul put this here about Adam and Christ in this part of Romans because he's been talking about the gospel of justification by faith, but he's about to move in to sanctification by faith. You know, God, saved by grace through faith, now sanctified or growing, living the new life by grace through faith, and this is a bridge to talk about the life that's in Christ, which I think is very important. I don't want to get into next week, but I think it's very important because we don't want to understand salvation as merely a status before God. It is absolutely that, certainly that, but it is also a newness of life, and Paul's moving into that in chapter 6. And so this explanation of Christ being the head of a new humanity bridges into that.
Right.
So that's why next week when we get to chapter 6, it's going to make a lot of sense when he starts talking about new life, because that's what Christ is the head of a new humanity that he grants eternal life.
Yeah. Good. It was very, I'm glad that you had the sermon again, because I think you're always, you know, moving in and out of your world, but it's so good to be reminded of a foundational truth, especially about all of humanity.
Yeah.
It was just, again, it was very helpful, very foundational. I encourage people that weren't there on Sunday to go back and listen to the sermon. Mm-hmm. But I have one question to spend our time on. Scott, most of us, you know, at Grace, our mission statement, right, to build spiritually healthy people for ministry in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That means when we head out into the world, we're going to have interactions with a lot of people. We're going to have interactions with people that are not Christians, and mm-hmm. we're going to have interactions with people who are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, as we look at chapter 5, this second portion about all of humanity and understanding who we are in Adam and who we are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
how can that shape the way we interact with people around us?
Okay.
Christian and non-Christian. If we keep this before us, you mm-hmm. know, as in our minds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. That's a good, now let's think about that. So if what we're keeping before us is right. the reality, number one, that all human beings are in what we would call Adam, in the human race that is impact that is full of sin, impacted by sin. Everyone mm-hmm. in the human race is a sinner, and death reigns through sin. So
right.
that's our status. Keeping that in our mind, but then also keeping in mind, as we've said, that to be in Christ by mm-hmm. grace through faith in Christ, we are made right with God,
mm-hmm.
pardoned of our sins, granted new life in a new people, a new humanity. Mm-hmm. Grace through faith is really key, because if we can keep that in our minds, then when we interact in the world, one thing that will happen is we will be the most humble people walking.
That's good.
Because we will know that there is nothing superior about us
right.
as people, that we would be in the new humanity
yeah.
of Christ, with Christ at our head. It's the superiority is of Christ
mm-hmm.
over Adam,
right?
Not us over others.
Mm-hmm.
So humility would be the Christians should be the most humble people in the world.
Which that plays itself out, doesn't matter who you're interacting with.
That's right.
Christians or non-Christians.
Yeah. You would never, as a Christian, you can never look at somebody who's not a Christian or who's living very openly opposed to God and the things of God. You can never look at that person with a sense of self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that apart from the justification by faith that's in Christ, we're all there.
Right.
That is our commonality.
Exactly.
Sin and mm-hmm. death. So humility would be one. We look at other people and say, oh, okay, I'm not here because of myself. I'm here because of Christ. I think that would also lead to compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We would look at people and want them to know the grace of God as God has allowed us to.
Okay.
So we would have compassion on people.
Mm-hmm.
I think often we tend to maybe even let hatred come up in our hearts toward people.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you know, condemnation, and certainly, you know, a sense of contempt toward people. I think it, keeping this before us, that we're in the new humanity in Christ by grace through faith, would make us compassionate on people who are lost.
Yeah.
Who will be exhausted mm-hmm. by their search apart from Christ, and who will be judged at the end
mm-hmm.
like we would have been had it not been for the grace of God. So
yeah.
compassion. And I would say urgency.
Okay.
How do we want to spend our time?
Hmm.
Do we want to spend our time arguing with people about things that aren't even eternal? Or do we want to spend our time witnessing? We want to spend our time pleading. Do we want to spend our time calling people to faith mm-hmm. in Christ?
Yeah.
Because the time is short.
Yeah.
You know, I think urgency is a word that's coming up in my mind a lot recently.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So humility, compassion, urgency definitely drives our interactions as we think about the reality of humanity, where we once were, if we're mm-hmm. Christians, and where we are now by the grace of God. What other things, anything else that you can think, especially as we interact now with people mm-hmm. inside the church?
Well, one more thing about outside yeah. the church. I think it would also, so I said humility, compassion, urgency. I think I think it would also make us want to be prepared.
Yeah.
Want to be prepared to give a faithful, Christ-honoring gospel response and answer to people.
I wonder, Scott, if it also, with the urgency, can come a little bit of an excitement.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I have felt the tension of today in the world that we live in now. It's sometimes sadness, but also sometimes excitement, because I understand this reality that is mentioned in Romans 5 as you look in the world where I once was.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, this excites me because I know the answer to the darkness we live in.
Yeah.
And it gives a little bit of excitement. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be challenging to talk about this to people, but it gives me excitement to go, oh, I know the problem. I know why you're struggling, and I know why there's no hope. I get it, because I was once there. Let me tell you why there is hope in the Mississippi.
Yeah, excitement too, because God is doing it. God is pulling people from the old to the new. Yeah. God is saving people from the old to the new.
Good.
I mean, yes, Jesus is building his church, and Jesus is coming to people, converting their hearts, and bringing them to repentance and faith and into newness of life. So that's a great one. Let's share that together. Let's anticipate God moving powerfully in days like today, when there's so much conflict and strife, because there will eventually be exhaustion. And we will pray that God will turn many hearts to himself.
Yeah. Good.
Anticipation.
Okay.
Good.
So in the church.
Well, I was thinking about this about in terms of the new humanity. You know, newness and life are really the themes that we need to hang on to. I think Christians would do well to remind ourselves it's about newness, it's about life. We need to talk more, think more, pray more about the newness that is ours in Christ and the life that we have in Christ, therefore the life that we should be living, that we can be living as people under grace and not under law, as under grace and not under condemnation, as people free and not enslaved. Now we're into Romans 6. So relating to each other in the church, in the body of Christ, as Christians, should be about exhorting each other to live up to the newness that is ours in Christ. I would like more of that in my interactions with people.
Is
encouraging one another with newness, life, hope.
Yeah.
You know, because of the reality of being united to Christ in his death and resurrection.
Yeah.
I think we need to really speak more about how in Christ we are one.
Yeah, that's good.
We are. I've been thinking a lot about this too. We keep talking about we've got to become one. Well, I understand what that language means. It means we need to start acting like we are one.
Right.
But let's don't forget, we are one. If we're not one in Christ, if those who are in Christ are not one new man in Christ, then why did Christ die? I mean, it means Christ's death didn't accomplish something he intended it for it to death to accomplish. I'm not going to say that. I will never say that Christ's death did not accomplish something that he intended to accomplish. So if Christ intended in his death to accomplish the salvation of his people and the oneness of the body of Christ, then that's a reality.
Yep.
So I think we need to start thinking about that and praying about that and talking about that and then exhorting ourselves to live up to that, to the reality of the one new man in Christ.
That's good.
Which is Ephesians 2.
Good.
That's how I think those are some ways that can change the way we live toward each other if we keep it in our minds.
Yeah, it's been helpful. I think for me, all of chapter 5, I've just, every time I've come to it every week, whoever's preaching chapter 5, it's been such a good reminder, Scott, for me. Again, I talked about in my sermon, it's like you're at the eye doctor and you put these new lenses in front of you to be able to see in a different light. I think by really taking what we're talking about here in, or what Paul's talking about in Romans 5, really gives the new perspective of the new kingdom, which is so helpful, encouraging, hopeful. Very urgent to share this news with others. Again, thank you for that. And we're looking forward to Romans chapter 6.
Yes, new life in Christ.
Great.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks, Scott.
Okay.